Good evening. Thank you. Welcome. Thank you so very much for joining Ascension Road Talk Radio this evening. I am Dr. Rain Morgan. I'm your host. I'm the one that comes every week and endeavors to bring you enlightening talk, things that help you move up and out of the known. Again this evening is my very good friend, mentor, my sister, Almeen, who, as for those of you that have been listening and for those of you that haven't, if you don't know, she's been doing a series of talk with me over these past weeks. I just got back from going to Ireland to join the pod over there and be in the company of many great masters to whom Almeen I will be eternally grateful for, but without I go on and on, because I can do that sometimes. Almeen, thank you again for joining me this evening.
You're very welcome. It's a pleasure to be here, Rain.
You know, it's been absolutely fabulous this past week. I've had some experiences that before we resume with our teaching that I'm wondering if it would be appropriate for me to share with you when many of our listeners out there are not familiar with Belvaspita. We haven't quite gotten into the meat of that yet, but I would like to share definitely one experience with you that I know the folks out there aren't going to get, and I will allow you to give details about this. So if I may, on the last day when we were doing our work, and you had asked us to move through the chambers, staying close to the wall and following the blue ball. And no matter what I did, I couldn't make that ball blue. I visualized it. I set my intent. I said, it is blue. But it kept looking at me going, no, I'm pinkish gold. And indeed it was. At the very end, when you used the word benevolence, that ball burst into a brilliant electric blue spinning double helix.
How beautiful.
And that was just before the ladder. And I'd like to hear what you have to say about that, but as it is below, so it is above. And I wonder if I did not set off a reprogramming of the DNA. What I have been endeavoring to do, you know, for several years now, to reprogram the DNA. And I must have been extremely successful to some piece of DNA. My knowingness says, and again, I want to hear what you have to say, my sister, but regeneration, because you know what it was all about this past week. The other thing was the dream that I had two nights after leaving. It happened Tuesday night. I dreamed that we were all at a picnic, having a cookout of sorts. Of course, there's food involved. And people started to be afraid. They were sitting at the picnic table, and they started screaming, there's a snake. And the snake is huge. There's a snake. Everybody get back. And you could see the tablecloth that was over the picnic table moving and shuffling. And out of the back of the yard ran a dog barking. And the snake began, it definitely made its appearance. It came out from under the tablecloth and moved at the speed of light toward the dog. And I was yelling, the snake is chasing the dog. The snake is going to get the dog. And indeed it did, and it coiled itself around the body of the dog and bit in to its jawbone. And someone ran up to the snake and had a big knife and began to slice the snake in half. But the snake didn't slice. It erupted. It consumed the dog in a brilliant pinkish gold. And there was no sign of snake or dog or anything. There was just a space of, if you could imagine what lava would look like spilling out over the top of a volcano. There was no slice. It was just pinkish gold coming out. And I know that there's people out there that are going to wonder, why is she talking about this? But I think it's really important for you to begin explaining what we're really doing and what's happening and why is it important for us to talk about passion and joy, which is the next part, speaking of passion, which is the next piece of where we go in our series here. So can I leave it up to you now?
Yes. It's a tall order, but we'll do it.
And you're the one.
First of all, to our beloved light family out there, there have been extraordinary mystical experiences assigned to the masters of the various orders around the earth that are ascended masters. And the reason for that is that there's a closing of old times that is taking place by bringing forward some of the old records, updating what's no longer applicable, and then it's actually been part of a major reprogramming of human DNA, because humans have a very unique role in the cosmos. They are the archetypes. They're the microcosm of the macrocosm, and as such, they represent everything that you will find out there in the form of other races, planets, etc., is found in the DNA of man. So where the infinite makes the changes, and the infinite that we are speaking of is the infinite mother goddess, who is the one that creates life. She's the birther of life. And these codes are put into the DNA to metamorphose the species to what Mother calls superhumanness. It's the stage beyond where humans should be evolving to. So there's been major reclamation of old codes that have been hidden for this day. Rain was invited by me to attend a gathering in Ireland that had the Ascended Masters of Ireland gathered in one place. They are known as the Order of the White Rose. And the next time there is such a gathering, that I will be there, will be in May of next year. Sometimes listeners just know they're supposed to be somewhere. If that's the case, that would be the date that they must go there. But the Masters of the Order of the White Roses, sacred order, not only guards the feminine pole of white magic that's incorruptible and is again restored to humanity by the Mother Goddess, and the reason for this is that long ago, before the cycles of the fall began, it was man's birthright to have white magic, the same as the angels or fairies or whatever other kingdom is out there. They all utilize white magic to make things grow, to make things better, to make things uplifted. It is time now for the restoration. So in August, the white rose burst the masculine pole. You remember, it's the feminine pole, which is called the Order of the White Dove. And the Order of the White Dove is for North America. Then there is a third order, and the masters from Canada are in charge of this third order, which is the neutral pole of white magic, the order of the serpent. It's the kundalini magic that rises when the left brain, which is the order of the dove, and the right brain, which is the order of the rose, are in balance. The orders of the dove and the serpent have been birthed by what's called the womb of love in mother's language, which is the order of the rose. So to birth this serpent magic, which is the neutral, and it's kept up in Canada, neutral order of white magic, is part of what happened there. So for Rain to dream about a snake, you know, and the biting of a snake, in dream language, dog represents relationship. So she really has answered her own question as to why the ball was pinkish gold. Because we have, up until this time, had a splicing of what's called the Ida and Bengala. They are serpentine channels of energy that goes like a DNA spiral up the spine, a feminine and a masculine. We've got a red and a white. Up until this time, the body of magic of the serpent has been split, but it was joined when we were in Ireland. And that's when it became the color of pinkish gold. The red and the white joined together and became pinkish gold. So that is the color of the serpent in the order of the serpent, which is now united. When that happened, changes took place in the DNA. Relationship changed. The dog, death in dream states means new beginnings. There's a new beginning of the relationship. The Ida and Pingala, which in any of the Ayurvedic medicine and so on we can see, has joined together. So the change starts in the DNA. So that's what's going on.
Well,
so which parts did I not do?
I think you got it all. I think you got it all. I just can see that double helix, that ladder shape bursting into blue and spinning out in front of me. It was an incredible experience to have. And I know it's not done downloading. I have no idea what it brings with it, but I see it often. And I know that it's still doing what it's doing within me, and maybe it will continue on forever. Maybe it will never stop. I don't know.
I'm sure it will never stop. You know, we have these frequency wheels with the 96 frequencies that we're working on, you know, in our discussions on this radio time when I've been your guest. I was awakened 4:00 in the morning with Mother's instruction to change several of them. And she gave me the exact numbers, the exact wheels that needed to be changed, because she said that the way it had been before permitted memory of old trauma to still exist in the bodies of man. So, you know, I was told to change it, even some of the 96 that we got the last day for the Order of the Serpent. There were several of those that needed to be changed.
So is that what we got in an email, was the new from Joe?
The new from Joe, and there are a few corrections that were made at 4 a.m. this morning.
Okay, cool. Well, I received that, and I haven't printed it out yet, but I was one of the ones that took every word down quickly and then meditated on it. So I'll disregard what I wrote down and print out the new.
Well, no, what you wrote down is correct, except for about four.
Okay.
And we will get that email to you.
Okay. Oh, okay, okay. So what Joe emailed is something different. My sister, before we move into passion and joy. I want to say good evening to Ruth's Meditation Circle in Burlington, Ontario, Canada. I had a wonderful compliment when she said, "Let me have a hug from the famous Rain." And I said, "Pardon me?" She said, "Oh, yes, my group listens to your radio show." And I had no idea what a wonderful gift that was, that because, you know, you always wonder how far your voice is going. Who's listening to you? Many times the teaching is so intense with you that I don't open it up for phone calls. We can do that if you want to, but we perhaps should talk about what we're going to talk about when we do, because sometimes the whole evening can be taken up with phone calls. And I just have, you know, gotten into prompting you to give the teachings of all of this. So, but at some point we'll talk about some things, you know, when we get through some of the basics, we'll talk about some stuff that we can ask for call-ins and that sort of thing. So I so want to thank Ruth for telling me about her meditation circle. And you, my sister, know who Ruth is?
I do, and that's very valiant of them, because right now it's already past 11, Toronto time.
So they're listening to the show. So,
so wonderful.
Thank guys in Burlington, Ontario. So, my sister, let's move into the new set of emotions, the new sets of emotions. And we left off with number 7, so this evening we'll begin with number 8, passion and joy. And I want to let all the listeners know, it's only, I think, for 1 year to download the archives, to skip all over the whole website and download into your little iPods and listen to at your convenience on your way to work, whatever. I think it's like $21 a year. The site has to be maintained. It's massive. But just jump online. You'll be able to download this show, the other shows that Almeen is going to do since she has joined BBS Radio. And, you know, tell your friends. Let your friends know, hey, you can listen to any show. You can listen to the whole series. Almeen, just so you know, we do a wonderful series on the Wednesday night show with Monica Lewis, who is a master Sabian astrologer. For each one of the degrees in the wheel, there's a hologram, and it depicts, you know, what we've come into this earth to learn. It showed that I was asked twice to make the choice to stay on the planet. You know, in 1980, I was trapped in a burning car, and I had to become liquid to get out of that car. You know, people have pictures of the car to prove it. So even that is in my chart. And so she's a real fun show. We did a show on the true meaning of Halloween. And my sister, did you know that no one knows how old Halloween is? It's from the earliest of times.
Amazing.
Well, and the whole Halloween thing, when the veils are very thin, and it's really about constellation astrology, when those that have passed on have things that they need to balance and move, those days during Samhain, during the October Halloween time, are where we get their pictures out and we ask them to speak to us and tell us what needs to shift and move. So people can go on and listen to the whole series that has been done with Monica Lewis, and they'll be able to go to the website and download anything that you do that they can't listen to when you're on live, or they want to tell their friends, you know, go download the whole series that Dr. Rain and Almeen are doing on the new emotions. I mean, this really puts a set of work together that folks can do something with. So $21 gets a great teaching. Thought that was important to throw that in. A little advertising for us. So let's go to passion and joy.
Okay. All right. And so in dealing with the pure frequencies of the cosmos, there are 96 pure frequencies. And we have spoken on previous shows about some huge events that transpired cosmically in 2006 and the beginning of August, when the end of illusion came about. In that, the infinite had discovered that which it is and that which it is not. So the mystery of its being was finally solved. So at that time, discordant frequencies like fear, anger, pain, and protectiveness were removed. So even though people may still indulge in them as though they are real, their actual counterpart as a cosmic reality was removed. The pure frequencies were restored, which are like the tones of the voice of the mother. So they come in pairs. These pairs are negative and positive, as all things are in the cosmos. They have two poles and pulse between them. So the deeper you go into the one, the more ability you have to go deeply into the other. So, for example, if we take passion and joy, the deeper your passion, the greater your capacity for joy, and so forth. So they are all based on desire, and passion is the desire to know, and then the desire to be or the desire to live is joy.
My sister, can I read what you wrote about passion? We find our passion by following the yearnings our moments of joy evoke within our hearts. It is the lost song the singer feels hiding within the shadows of his mind. It is the lost rhythm the dancer forever seeks. It is the mysteries of the cosmos that wait for the scientist or the metaphysician to unlock. It is the desire inspired by the innocence in our child's eyes to build a life of wonder and beauty for our family. Many envy the achievements of others, but they are not prepared to put in the work. Sometimes it takes burning the candle on both ends to fulfill a dream. It is our passion that keeps our enthusiasm lit and gives us our second wind to fly higher than we ever thought possible. It's only part of it, but it so describes passion.
Yes, it does. And passion is that which makes your breath come rapidly and your chest heave and your cheeks burn and you feel more alive than ever. It's when you've gone beyond boundaries where you thought you could go. And it is the burning desire to know more about life around us.
And I love what you write about joy. When under its spell, joy makes us feel light and young again, connected to the earth and freed from our cares. I might ask people to just feel what I just read, because if you can keep that feeling, when you can keep that feeling in your body all the time, all of life shifts.
And it takes a certain form of awareness to feel the joy in the middle of a city street or in the middle of a crowd on the subway. It takes awareness. Because all around us, little miracles unfold, and for most of the masses, they are so steeped in care that it is something they are not even aware of.
Yeah. The ninth pair is fun and achievement.
And yet again, they are paired because they pulse off each other. Without fun, achievement can become blind ambition. Did you want to read the little descriptive paragraphs and we'll build on those, or how would you like
yes,
to do it?
Absolutely. We've possibly have all heard the saying that someone we know works hard and plays hard. That's because they go hand in hand. Fun without achievement is a shallow, unfulfilling life. Achievement without fun, bringing quality to the journey, leads to an equally unsatisfying life. Blind ambition can result from such an imbalance, and one becomes blinded as to which achievements would be truly life-enhancing. Fun, the desire to revel, is the laughing and reveling for the sheer sake of having fun. And it is fun that helps energy flow and prevents us from taking ourselves too seriously. It relieves tensions we experience during our battles of achievement.
You know, the issue of fun, creating that aliveness and the flow of energy, the most incredible thing happened. You know, we had these snake bites. Mine started when I was in Toronto, and the masters really gathered for the first time to start to unlock the libraries that held the secrets of the serpent. And fascinatingly enough, only as of yesterday, I was told to start to go into the libraries, which I haven't yet done, but to go into the libraries and get the ancient records and translate them. So that is brand new. That just happened yesterday. But we had these snake bites happen by this etheric snake or serpent as initiations, and there was these, you know, multitude of various events in Ireland that set off the raising of the kundalini up the spine. So I've come back from Ireland, and when something is funny, I laugh till I can just about fall off my chair. It's like the energy to truly have the fun is there because the energy is flowing up the spine. So I think that it's a cycle. When you laugh a lot, the fluids flow properly. The spinal fluids, the fluids in the brain, they flow properly. Your circuitry works better and the energy flow happens. At the same time, you know, when the energy flow happens, your ability to have fun will deepen, and as a consequence, your achievements will deepen.
The next one, the pair, this might even be one of my, well, I like them all, but this might be one of my favorites. Number 10 is contentment and enlightenment. Contentment is feeling that you have just lived your perfect moment and you want to hold on to it. You want to keep it just as it is. Contentment knows that it is living perfect moments. The fire is crackling in the fireplace, a little child wrapped in a quilt on your lap with sleep-laden eyelids. Outside, the rain beats on the window panes on a winter's night. It is during these moments that one wishes that everyone on the earth could feel like that, completely content.
And, you know, the enlightenment, it's interesting how they intersect, because enlightenment doesn't come unless you accept where you are. I so often find that many light workers are striving, but enlightenment's in the moment, it's not in the future. So even as they strive, it puts them either in the immediate future or in the immediate past, but it takes them out of the moment. And contentment tends to bring one back to the moment. It's because of that that they go hand in hand.
I love that feeling of contentment. That's another one that one wants to keep in their body. I like the way you call it an undercurrent running under life as we're living it. You know, that undercurrent just runs at all times. Instead, in place of just those few fleeting moments that we get it when we come out of the shell and realize that we've achieved something, you know, that we did a good job with something, to have that feeling of contentment. And, you know, my sister, I would think that that feeling alone, keeping that feeling in your body, because it means that you're living in praise, love, and gratitude. When you feel
doesn't it? Yes.
That alone could be enough to create immortality, to be content with everything. Oh.
I can very much buy that. That is beautifully said. And the contentment also has a feeling of at-homeness. And it makes one realize that so many seek for a home, for a place to belong, when that place is right within. It's coming home to oneself. And it's when you're fully accepting of who you are, of where you are with your life, not seeing, you know, measuring yourself against others, but seeing how far you've come, giving yourself credit for your accomplishments, and being content with where you are. It's the beginning of change.
Yeah. Even if sometimes there are some stirring moments when you're in the middle of moving through something, being content even in that, knowing that you're cared for underneath what is stirring in the moment, so that it can fracture, come apart, and leave your reality. Sometimes
when,
things have
when
to
the
stir.
When the foundation that you called a state of being, I believe, when you have that foundation that's there all the time, the place of knowing that you're coming from your core in a place of stillness, feeling perfectly content and at home with yourself. It's when you have that that you weather those changes in life so much better, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And then we move into empowerment and humor. Avendar Dragon, who, you know, was another teacher back many years ago, teaching the Toltec way. And he used to say that power was unconditional love of self.
That's
and I really liked that. I understood that. Loving oneself exactly the way you are, warts and all, being loving with yourself. Well, that was good for then, and that still fits. But to move into empowerment and to come from this place, and I'm going to read these first two sentences and stop, and you will go from there. Empowerment is the desire to be of service. At first, this definition might not make sense.
And you know, that is because we think of empowerment, of making someone able to do something. But in fact, it is to teach them how to become able. It's the difference of handing someone the fish versus teaching them how to fish. And that is why to empower another is to be of service to them in a way that they grow from it. Empowerment, like every one of the qualities or these emotions, which are the pure frequencies or tones of the cosmos, every one of them has an opposite attribute that is an opposite pole. But within itself, it also has a negative and a positive aspect. For example, empowerment. Its negative aspect is to allow yourself to be empowered. Its positive, more proactive aspect is to empower another. When we call it empowerment is to be of service, we are speaking of that positive aspect that is allowing another to rise to the occasion, to learn a new skill, to overcome something in their life through our service and assistance. But empowerment of self is allowing ourselves the mastery of being self-determinative. In other words, we see ourselves as a cause rather than an effect. In my office, we try and run it that way. We dedicate time to return people's phone calls. We dedicate time for maintenance. But we also dedicate time to build. Because otherwise, we are not a cause, we are an effect. The phone rings, we have to answer it. An email comes in, we jump. So in other words, we have changed the balance of the empowerment to being in that control of one's own life as to when you respond to what. Fools react. Masters respond with empowerment.
You bring up something else, and I thought of this when I first read the very first piece of this, that there was something that, that really needed to hit home here. The people not understanding the proper meaning of service. Service is often meant to assuage our conscience by giving a handout, really not addressing the deficiency that caused in the first place. And I would call that what you're writing about enabling. And there is a big difference between enabling someone and being of service to them so that they build on themselves.
Yes, I cannot agree more. And so its opposite again was what? So just so our listeners can remember.
Empowerment and humor.
Because the humor with the empowerment, if we are into empowerment of self, empowerment of others, we tend to take ourselves too seriously. If we understand that there really is no one to save, if we acknowledge wholeness rather than attempt to right a wrong, then we heal and uplift. And it takes the humor of the divine comedy to see that we are but role players in a vast play.
Yeah.
At any moment we can change those roles. It takes a sense of humor not to take ourselves too seriously in whatever role we play, be it on the receiving side or the giving side.
You write that humor laughs at life, laughs at self, and instead of blaming others, is amused by the folly of others. It cannot take anything too seriously because it knows, without a shadow of a doubt, that we are just engaged in a play. It helps by empowering the beggar, not because of seeing him as needy, but just because it is his role. The play must go on because the play has value. Oh, that's so good, my sister.
Well, you know, people wish that things were always sunny, things were always perfect according to what their definition of perfect is. But it's the texture, it's the dark and the light and the sunshine and the shadow, all those things that make the play interesting. One thing that's no longer needed in the play is opposition as a method of growth. Now it is growth through support. This is part of what changed when we solved successfully the mystery of beingness according to the mother of all life in the beginning of August.
And the last pair, before we move on to the next lessons, our last pair, the 12th, is growth and satisfaction. The understanding of the essence of growth is new. This is because the way growth takes place now is new. Growth used to be the result of delving painfully at times into the unknown, grappling with the illusion of it, and eventually turning the unknown into known through experience. When delving into the unknown, fear resulted, often bringing up the need for protectiveness. When the illusion refused to yield its insights, anger tried to break it up. I probably should stop there, let you talk for a minute about that. We said a lot. Growth used to be the result of delving painfully at times. That is how we... Let's break that whole paragraph up, my sister. We always thought in the past of growth coming from the stuff that we crawled through 3 miles or more of broken glass to get through. That was how we learned and grew.
The most extraordinary event has happened in that Mother has changed the nature of the unfolding of life. Because it was uncovered that part of the ballooning complexity of life was the result of cycling back and redoing periods of time called the cycles of existence, descension-ascension cycles, or in-breath and out-breath, if you will. But life is now different, and this is very new. This has only taken place since the beginning of November. The life has been unfolding according to a decree that Mother issued into what is called the Book of Life, something that's referred to quite a bit in the New Testament. The Book of Life is the laws of existence. And when Mother speaks laws in there, and also Father, her first creation, when they speak laws into the Book of Life, it becomes reality. She has spoken a new law of the nature of the unfolding of life into the Book of Life, and that is that there's only one moment. It's the moment of new creation. So every moment as Mother becomes new, so does creation become recreated anew. So in other words, there really is no past. And growth is no longer linear. Mother used to externalize feminine aspects of herself to open up space for these cycles of linear progression to take place. About a week ago, she recalled back into her being every single one of her aspects, collapsing space and linear time. That means there is no need to become anything. Every moment we can become new. And growth is now not linear, the hard way of crawling, as you say. It is, in fact, exponential. And enlightenment can come in a moment.
Growth is now an expansion that is the result of satisfaction.
That is nice. I like that. Did I write that?
Okay.
Which book is that from, by the way?
You did a good job.
Well, I write automatically, so my mind is silent when I write, and my hand simply moves, and so afterwards I go, wow, I've learned something new. Which book is that one from?
Well,
The Ring of Truth?
Yeah, I believe the second edition.
Of The Ring of Truth, okay. Well,
and you know what? There's something else here that's very, very important. I have to put this in.
Please.
The more we recognize these qualities and aspects in another, it will expand that trait in us and in them, making it bigger because we are affirming it and we love it. It is a piece of ourselves that we are loving in another, and that which you love strengthens, bringing with it satisfaction. Now, that's the other side of growth.
And see, unless you are satisfied with where you are, growth doesn't happen. It's being satisfied in the moment, which we touched upon briefly when we spoke of contentment, that makes you want to go further again and expand outward. It's the pulsation inward into your deep satisfaction and pulsing outward into growth. All of life pulses between expansion and contraction. If it doesn't, it is stagnant and death results. So I understand how those fit together, and I hope our listeners can understand that.
Well, I think what I'm, as you said that, I've been listening to you talk and feeling that there was a lapse, and I just want to repeat what you said, maybe in a slightly different way, but it might make sense to somebody else listening to us right now. If I understand you, as long as we grow from a place of struggle, time loops, and we just continue to stay in that struggle. But when we move into looking at things in other people that make ourselves satisfied, that make us feel good, bringing that feeling of satisfaction into our bodies from different things, then we grow from that place and the time loop stops. Did I
hear
that right?
Well, it stopped in the cosmos as well, giving us the opportunity to not have to become and grow through the stages of change, which is transformation, transmutation, transfiguration, over and over in a spiral. Instead, we can become all things instantaneously. Rain, you came into that gathering in Ireland as already in your ascended mastery, but in the first stage. You have left at the very apex of human development. It happened in a week because it was in the company of others that have already accomplished that. So by grace, that happens, and also because of the large role you played as a pivot point for the cosmos. When that happens, growth is instantaneous. So, because the time loops in space had been collapsed by Mother, truly becoming the hard linear way did also. But to bear out what you are saying that satisfaction comes from finding the best in others, from looking for that which reflects the face of the infinite.
Yeah.
And as what we see and love, we strengthen within ourselves.
We're getting very close, and I had decided at the beginning of the show that we should break at 9:30, and run a little advertisement for your books and your CDs. And people, I really, really want to encourage you to get a couple of CDs. You know, it takes a certain space to be able to sit down and read. Most generally, the children have to be put away someplace where you have time and peace and quiet. You can't be working, you can't be talking on the phone, can't be on your computer, you can't be writing a book of your own. When you're reading, you're a captive audience. And so I really, really suggest and encourage people to get some CDs. Because, you know, you can put a CD in, you can't read and drive, but you can drive and listen. And oftentimes, when you're doing, for artists, working with your hands, I have to do, when I'm making jewelry and making my crystal wands and things like that, I have to be doing something else, listening to a tape, not so much music, that doesn't fill up enough space, Sometimes even putting the television on and watching something on sci-fi. I do love sci-fi. It makes me kind of mindless, and I just get into the work of moving my fingers. But I want to suggest to people that owning some of All Means CDs. I'm doing my own little commercial here, my sister. Having, you know, things to listen to when you go to bed at night. Maybe you want to put your little earphones on and have the CD player and go to sleep listening to the words. I know you do a dissertation of sorts on the emotions. There are wonderful CDs. Go to the website, spiritualjourneys.com, and yes, check out the books, but check out the CDs. Driving, for those people that drive an hour each way or sit in traffic for, you know, an hour and 60 minutes, an hour and 80 minutes, that's 2 hours, 2.5 hours. You know, if you live in California, you're sitting on the 5 freeway, you could have enough time to listen to 2 CDs, and it collapses time. When you're listening to this kind of teaching, you can't get all stressed out. It just doesn't happen. So I suggest everybody own 2, 3, 4 CDs. Get it that way so when you can't be reading, and there's a reason for me to say this too, because there are times in our life when we have so much going on that we need to fill up that linear time in the new teaching. It causes an abstract in the mind, stops your head from running about what you have going on. Do you agree with me about that, my sister?
It does. And in fact, the CDs that you are mentioning, Rain, they were purposely made that way. I received sacred music from various areas of the world that I received and heard in my head and recorded in a dark studio, just recorded it as I heard the music. So it has, each one has a unique musical background. We have 6 that are called the premiere CDs. We have, of course, entire audio libraries, but the 6 that are called premiere CDs is what you're referring to. There's the power of emotion, the power of silence, mystical keys to ascension, mystical keys to manifestation, and others. So, but there's this, the music in the background puts you in right brain, and then the words, which again was recorded just from a mindless place in one single take for an hour at a time, over the background music that we had recorded before, that then sinks in better. It becomes internalized knowledge because the right brain is affected by the almost trance-like music in the back.
In these next couple of minutes, I'd like to encourage folks to go to the website, go to the archives, download and burn to a CD so that you can listen to the 12 new pairs of emotions. I'd like to play at the very end of the show, Dawn, if you're listening. I'd like to close playing Al Means advertisement, and I want to let folks know that the next place that we're going to be going to is talking about first and second ring magic. So, my sister, our next show will be on the magic itself, unless you'd like to do something else. I thought it might be a kind of a fun way to put something in between the heavy stuff. Not that that isn't, but...
And at your disposal, Rain, you decide anything in the world to talk about.
Okay. My sister, I want to thank you once again for so much beyond my words have you given me. And I thank you on behalf of all the people that listen to our show. Thank you so much. And again, to Ruth's Meditation Circle in Burlington, Ontario, Canada, Thank you, everybody. And we'll end now for this evening. We'll be back next week. Thank you so much, everyone. Come back next week, same bat channel, and we'll be talking about the two rings, first and second ring of magic. Good evening, my sister.
Good night, and thank you to everyone.
Brand new book, The Gift of the Unicorns, is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life and provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com. In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Almeen continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. After 3 months of intense physical preparation from January 2004, Almeen experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book had been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness, leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master, and in addition, continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nagual and seer, Helme's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almin's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. The complete Power Of and the Mystical Key series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Almin at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
Hi, this is inspirational speaker Wambui Bahati, and you're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on BBS.com.